So we've looked at the differences between some parts of the country. Now let's start talk about a new project that's looking at what knits us together. And let's start with a simple question with, I suspect, a pretty complicated answer. What does it mean to be an American today?
For a good portion of my life, I would identify myself as, you know, Chinese American. The hyphen, it's very important, you know?
When I'm with my family, my extended family, I really feel like I'm Afghan. And when I'm with my friends, I really feel like I'm American.
Being American was what you'd see on TV or on the news or on sitcoms. It is something that was in another world to me and didn't always seem real.
When people meet me, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, "What are you?" That makes me feel like I'm not allowed to be American because of my skin color. I don't really understand why, because I was born and raised in New York. It's like my parents' background, it defines who I am, and it doesn't. That's not the only thing that defines me.
This has been contested territory for centuries. Those were some of the responses to that question from a recent NPR series called A Nation Engaged. As we start the new year and look ahead, it can feel like any shared national identity has unraveled into two distinct camps. Our next two guests believe such a binary choice isn't just wrong, it's also dangerous. Caroline Hopper and Ashley Kwaku are two of the driving forces behind Who Is Us? It's a new project on American identity from the Aspen Institute. That's a nonpartisan think tank focused on policy and leadership development. Carrie, Ashley, welcome to 1A.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Ashley, tell us more about the work you do and why you think we need to have this conversation right now.
Yeah. So, you know, the premise of this project, Who Is Us, is based on the idea that we are in a moment of deep contestation over what it means to be an American. And I know we often think about contestation in the way we think about elections, but we're talking here about something more fundamental in terms of our identity. And we see this manifesting in all kinds of ways, our policies around immigration, the protests for racial justice, the politics of mask wearing. We're sort of grappling with deciding about what our common story is and what that means for how we treat each other. You know, we have, as you just said, we've been grappling with this question for centuries. It's been something we've been debating even before we became a nation. Who is free? Who belongs? Who can participate? And what's our relationship to each other? And so we've dealt with that in lots of different ways. And this is another time that we're asking that question.
Carrie, how concerned are you that you might be looking for something that just isn't there? I mean, can there be a national identity for a country as complex as the United States?
Yeah, so I think that we know that a large majority of Americans feel proud and grateful to identify as Americans. And a recent study by our friends at an organization called More in Common show that this is true across demographics, including age, gender, race, and ethnicity. But the report also shows that this debate about American identity often gets oversimplified. And I think that's so much of what we experience right now, which is that it becomes a conversation about American successes versus American failures. But, you know, as you mentioned, we believe that the debate should not be structured in such simplified terms. The fact is that there are successes in our story of who we are, in our founding, in our history, and who we are today that are worthy of being honored and worthy of being celebrated. And alongside that, there are profound failures that deserve acknowledgement and deserve atonement. And we really believe that Americans are capable of embracing a more complete understanding of who we are, one that represents the true diversity of our past and our present and embodies both the good and the bad. And we believe that that is the way forward. And so we do believe that there is something to be found and that it's not only possible, but it's actually in our best interest to do so.
Well, Leo emails, "We have traced our family tree in the U.S. back to Jamestown. Are my family true Americans? No. We are just a long family of immigrants. The only true Americans are the Native Americans. The rest of us are immigrants either by choice or via enslavement." Ashley, how much attention are you giving to whose identity we're talking about here? Because for decades, American identity was essentially seen by the white majority as something implicitly white. The two were synonymous.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that looking at this, what we've really been looking at and talking and learning from right now is about this question of how we tell the story of our history, the sort of the story we tell ourselves about ourselves. And we've perpetuated these stories through things like our textbooks and our education system, our public art, our monuments, the cultural celebrations and traditions that we honor. And these are all ways that we disproportionately embrace a certain set of identities or narratives around white early settlers, while minimizing the more violent pieces of that history. But we, you know, believe that in erasing those stories of violence and of subjugation that live alongside the stories of the pioneering of the founders, you know, we erase the other stories of resilience, of relentlessness of those who have, you know, worked to pursue freedom, of the quest for belonging that generations of Americans have sought. So we think that we, in expanding the narrative, that we're not looking to sort of erase any part of our history, but we're looking to add to it, to sort of complexify, complicate it, tell the good alongside the bad, as Carrie Moore just said, and that we can celebrate the good parts and honor the bad parts also.
We're talking about a new project that's trying to answer the question, what does it mean to be an American in 2021? And can the answer to that question make the country a place more at peace with itself? And we'd love to hear from you. How would you answer the question, who is us? Are there values and beliefs that you think most of us can agree are American? You can comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or send us an email at 1A@WAMU.org. We're talking to Caroline Hopper and Ashley Kwaku. They're the masterminds behind Who Is Us? It's a project on American identity at the Aspen Institute. Carrie is the managing director for its Citizenship and American Identity Program, and Ashley is the project lead for Who Is Us? And here's what writer Francis Fukuyama told us back in 2018.
A democratic society needs to hold things in common. You need to have a common commitment to a certain set of principles that underlie the legitimacy of your political system. You need to be able to talk, to deliberate. And for that, you really need something like national identity. You need a sense of an overarching community that you feel loyal to.
Ashley, does that get close to where you want to start this conversation?
Yeah, you know, I come to this work having spent, you know, most of my career working overseas, actually, in countries that are afflicted by different kinds of divides, ethnic divides, religious divides, geography, and that are working to try to work through those divides at the same time that they're trying to establish democracy and peaceful political competition. And that's kind of the lens that I bring to this question of the similar challenges or intentions that we're facing here, which is the need to sustain some level of social cohesion in order to lay on top of that, you know, a competitive and sometimes divisive political system, and that we need that foundation so that we can, you know, contest our elections and have that process not kind of tear us asunder.
Well, Kristen writes on Facebook, the wife of one of my cousins posted on Facebook a clever meme declaring in all caps, I'd rather be an American than a Democrat. That level of ignorance was beyond my capacity for understanding or explanation. I decided I did not need it in my life. Carrie, do you think it's possible to, or and maybe this isn't even your goal, but to define an American identity that is separate from politics?
I do. Yeah. So the aspiration really is to create a story of who we are as Americans that is one in which all Americans can see themselves. And so I think that, you know, in order to get to the point that we as Americans can embrace something that is so nuanced and that involves the complexities of each of us as individuals and all of the groups that we're a part of, there are certain muscles that we need to build as a nation. And so part of our goal through this work is to look at not only how are we grappling with understanding what it means to be an American, but also in order to embrace a more complete story, what are the competencies that we need to really build up. And I think it's something that will absolutely take time. I think it's something that these competencies will fall at different levels, from the level of our culture and sort of the stories that we embrace as being part of how we define ourselves, all the way to the level of processes that allow us to grapple with these things and seek goals together, and the level of individual interactions as well, the techniques that we need to learn in everyday interactions to be able to seek truth and reckoning and also collaborative thinking. So I think it's important to be able to still define ourselves based on the groups that we're a part of. I think, you know, so much of this work is not only about seeking common understanding and celebrating common things, but also gaining this mutual respect for difference that is so important as part of this collective that we're a part of. And again, I would say that this is really the American advantage, that this is not only something that we are capable of, that we have approached before in our history, so we know that this is something we can do, but it's also important to think about this as something that we get to do. You know, this is not predetermined for us. This is something that we have a role in defining, but that should include the different ways that we define ourselves.
But I hear so often, because I do think political and personal identities are often very tightly intertwined, and I hear from people who really struggle with this idea that your politics are counter to my humanity, that, you know, your politics say that I should not have full human rights because of who I am or how I live. And I just wonder how you grapple with that, Carrie, in seeking this shared identity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, in some ways, the need for this work is emerging out of our inability to have already created a story that does really acknowledge and honor these important differences in the way that groups are experiencing Americanness right now. I think, you know, while there's broad agreement around certain fundamental principles that we ascribe to as Americans, there is and there needs to be ongoing work to ensure that those principles get fully exercised by all people. And so when it comes to how these principles get applied in our society, there are really important group-based differences that should be acknowledged. And I think that the aspiration needs to be to not sort of stay in these different segments of society, but rather to be able to work within the different experiences, to be able to understand the needs and the context in order to add these threads to a larger story that involves, again, both the good and the bad.
We're talking about a new project, trying to answer the question, what does it mean to be American in 2021? My guests are Caroline Hopper and Ashley Kwaku. They're leading a new project called Who Is Us, run by the Aspen Institute. That's a nonpartisan think tank focused on policy and leadership development. Carrie is the managing director for its Citizenship and American Identity Program, and Ashley is the project lead for Who Is Us. We're also hearing from you. Nancy emails, we will not be able to change the perceptions of who are real Americans until we change the school textbooks to include the many different people of our country. Instead of starting with the Mayflower as the beginning, perhaps we need to start with various segments of our population. Native Americans, Europeans, Africans, South Americans, Asians of various areas. Why did they come? What did they contribute? How are they doing in our society? Talk about the melting pot, its problems, and its successes. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from you and our guests in a moment. Thank you. Now let's get back to my guests, Carrie Hopper and Ashley Kwaku. They're behind a new project called Who Is Us? It's run by the Aspen Institute. That's a nonpartisan think tank focused on policy and leadership development. Carrie is the managing director for its Citizenship and American Identity Program, and Ashley is the project lead for Who Is Us? Ashley, as part of your opening statement about Who Is Us, you say, quote, "We should embrace the many identities that we have and recognize that different identities can be experienced at once. We believe we can help equip ourselves with the language, the common understandings, and the mutual respect for difference that will enable us to develop a shared narrative of what it means to be an American." I don't know if you spend any time on social media, Ashley, but do you believe there's really an appetite for a shared narrative right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. I think we're in the height of the political season, which we haven't yet come through. It is a hard time to begin this conversation. But, you know, one thing I think is important is that after the election, we're going to have to kind of look around and say to ourselves, we're still living in this shared space together. You know, we are going to be in a country together after all of this is over. And so given that nobody is going anywhere, we have to figure out how we're going to live together. And that goes back to then figuring out what is that shared sense of cohesion that we're going to build all of the difficult conversations that we're going to have on top of. We have to build that foundation. And so I think we hoped that we would be sort of more through the political season than we seem to have to be. But this is also, again, an urgent time to address this question. You know, Carrie and I were just noting that we're only a few years away from celebrating 250 years of independence as a country. It's an important time for us to kind of think about, to take a step back and think about, you know, who we are now. And also because we are trying to sort of reassess and recreate and rebuild ourselves after this devastating, health and economic pandemic. So it's an important moment for us now to do this work. And it's going to take making an affirmative decision that, yes, we do want to live in a country together. We want to be in relationship with each other. And so what does that mean?
Well, to that point, you know, we've gotten used to hearing a lot about those who love America and those who hate America. For the president and his supporters, love for the country is a defining characteristic of being a true American or being a patriot. And it was key to a speech he gave last summer at Mount Rushmore in South Dakota.
Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud, and they will not allow our country and all of its values, history, and culture to be taken from them.
So the president of the United States talking to Americans about other Americans, and we know that message appeals to millions of Americans. So Ashley, how do you go about folding that perspective into this conversation?
You know, I think that's one of the reasons why we're advocating for telling a more inclusive story, because one of the things that creates, if we continue to hold on to this very narrow version of who we are, it allows people like the president in that case to draw on those differences around the contours of the story and use them as a way to divide us, because we don't have a shared consensus on that story. And so we are looking to, yes, to acknowledge, first of all, the things that have happened that are just facts, things that we know have taken place, and to celebrate the parts of the story which are good. There are many things to celebrate, many ways in which people fought for voting rights and worked to abolish slavery, and all kinds of other wonderful ways that people struggled in solidarity with those who were on the margins of our society. But we also have, you know, really, really horrible human rights abuses and violence and subjugation. And those stories need to be brought into the light alongside the stories of the good. And it's not to blame, it's not to sort of victimize the other side. It's just to show them, you know, in the light and sort of ask if we can sort of own this collectively as our shared story. It's not just, you know, African Americans who, you know, endured slavery and Jim Crow. It's America that experienced that. And so can we collectively own it?
But isn't that part of the challenge, Carrie? There doesn't seem to be a shared desire to own or at times even acknowledge that history.
That's absolutely part of the challenge. And I think instead of thinking about this as something that, you know, we have to do, it's true, we must confront this. But also it's important to think about why we should be doing this, the advantage of doing this. And Ashley and I truly believe that our democracy, the one that we love when we're patriotic, will be stronger by doing this. What we get out of this is not only the opportunity to reckon and atone with the mistakes that we've made as a country in the past, but also if we're able to do this, if we're able to tell a more complete story about who we are, if we're able to gain a deeper understanding of each other and our differences, then we are going to be creating the conditions for more full participation in our democracy. We're going to become, as Ashley said, less vulnerable to our disagreements and our differences being able to be used against us to divide us further. And also, we're going to build up the competencies that are necessary to approach shared problems, whether it's the problems of our past that we're reckoning with or new problems that arise. We will be more capable as a collective, as part of a democracy, to be able to create joint solutions to those problems and better solutions too, because they'll actually be recognizing and honoring the needs and experiences of all kinds of Americans.
I want to wind the clock back to 1965. These are closing remarks from James Baldwin. It was part of his famous debate with William F. Buckley at the University of Cambridge in England.
It is a terrible thing for an entire people to surrender to the notion that 1/9 of its population is beneath them, and that I am not a ward of America. I am not an object of missionary charity. I am one of the people who built the country. Until this moment, there is scarcely any hope for the American dream, because the people who are denied participation in it, by their very presence, will wreck it. And if that happens, it's a very grave moment for the West. Thank you.
Ashley, how much do you think this debate over identity has changed in the past 50 years or so?
You know, I don't think it's changed very much. I think it is a question we've been asking from time. And it manifests itself in different ways, but it's wrapped up in so many of the things that this Baldwin quote points to, which is around, you know, the question of citizenship, who can participate, who can vote, and so much of it also is wrapped up in an idea of a yearning for belonging. You know, people who come to this country and many generations of African Americans who were brought here, you know, unwillingly, have nevertheless sought to belong. They've sought to be represented. They've sought to participate. And so I think that's fundamentally the same debate that we're having today. We're just, and this is, you know, we have to always realize that we've been asking it. It's sort of an American thing to be asking it. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing or a scary thing, because we've always sort of been asking it, and it gives us a chance to renegotiate the terms of agreements that haven't always in the past gotten it right when it comes to addressing those issues of belonging and inclusion.
We're talking about a new project that's trying to answer the question, what does it mean to be an American in 2021? Caroline Hopper and Ashley Kwaku are behind Who Is Us? It's a project on American identity at the Aspen Institute. Ashley, as you're describing the project, and it is very aspirational, how does this actually happen? What are the concrete steps? Is this about conversation? Is this about policy? How do you do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we're still very much in early stages and working through all of that. So the first thing that we're doing is really just talking to a series of advisors that we've put together from a whole array of disciplines, from history to religion to race and ethnicity, political science. And so our early learning is really to sort of understand this idea of who we have been or how we've understood ourselves historically. Again, some of the things you pointed to, it's historically been very white, Christian, Anglo-Protestant, and to sort of unpack also what the gaps are that have historically been left out of that. But we also have, so that's a kind of backward-looking piece, but we also have a very forward-looking agenda too, which is to engage in a next phase much more on the ground in communities around the country, in different geographies, with faith-based communities, with young people, to really further articulate this aspirational sense of who we want to be. And, you know, it's really based on a kind of strengths-based approach, which is to say, what is it that we all can contribute in our individual capacity as a group to a vision of who we want to be in our community, in our state, in our school, and more broadly in the country as we're, again, in this sort of transformational time where we're coming out of the pandemic and the economic crisis.
But I have to say, those are two very different questions to me. Who we are and who we want to be are very, very different. Which is more important to answer?
I think they're both important to answer. I think that you can't answer the future-oriented one without doing the past-oriented one. We have to understand who we have been or how we've understood ourselves, because we have to sort of create a space where everyone feels like they can come to the table and be included in the future-oriented vision. I think that they're both fundamentally crucial processes. Nobody wants to just live in the past and litigate things that have happened hundreds of years ago. But we need to do that so that we can kind of figure out, okay, now that we know that about ourselves, now that we own that about ourselves, what do we do now? What are we going to do about it, given the problems that we're facing, given the problems that we have to solve? How are we going to do that now? So we do need to be forward facing, but they are very different. And that's why we're sort of taking them in different phases throughout this project.
Well, we got a couple of emails here I want to read. Marina says, you should be addressing the concept of American patriotism, which has been eroded by multiple Democratic governments. This is why Trump has been able to get so much traction. Too much emphasis has been placed on how we are different, our different backgrounds, languages, without offering a shared definition of what it means to be an American. This is a destructive process led by many Democrats to degrade America's history and success. But Joe emails, I wonder how much of a single identity we have in the U.S., given we don't necessarily have a single shared story. Our history is one of more than one truth. All men are created equal along state-sanctioned slavery, for example. Similarly, we have very often been a nation of extreme wealth alongside extreme poverty. When that's the case, perhaps we are a nation of many realities and truths that create a cornucopia of identities rather than a single identity or understanding of who we are. Carrie, your thoughts about those comments?
Yeah, you know, I think it really, the differences in those comments represents a lot of what we are learning is about sort of how to balance the tensions that exist within our fundamental principles that we ascribe to as Americans themselves, and also the tension between what's promised in those principles and what has been experienced by different people throughout history. And so I think that the questions that are being raised by these listeners are really at the heart of what we are exploring. And ultimately, as we gather more knowledge and work towards a shared story, it needs to be one that does embody our differences. We do think that that's critically important. But it also needs to celebrate things that we have in common and shared victories. We think that both are important. And it's not about trying to minimize or erase any experiences to the point that we can get to one sort of shared understanding of who we are, but rather painting a hybrid understanding of the fact that being American means being greater than the sum of our parts.
Ashley, just about 30 seconds here. What does success look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we hope to, first of all, spark a conversation with partners and communities around the country about this question, both of who we've been, but really more importantly, where do we want to go? We hope to especially focus on provoking thought about the stories we tell, about the narratives that we create in our art, in our museums, in our textbooks. We want to also build some skills and explore the kinds of skills that we can share with people to engage in those conversations themselves. So lots to come. We're excited and invite your participation of your listeners to help us along the way.
That's Ashley Kwaku and Caroline Hopper. They're two of the main driving forces behind Who Is Us, a new project on American identity from the Aspen Institute. Carrie, Ashley, thanks for joining us. And you can find out more about their work at the1a.org. Remember, we're on Instagram. You can follow us at the1a show. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and let's talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.